Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, let's meet the woman who's developed a close and intimate relationship with Chris Watts. Second, another twist in the Murdaugh case in South Carolina. Third, a trial date has been set for Chad Daybell. Fourth, the United States Supreme Court defends the Fourth Amendment. Another teacher case, and our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, big docket day. First, let's meet the woman who's developed, in her own words, a close and intimate relationship with Chris Watts. Her name is Krista Rakello. Now, she spoke on camera for a series that's coming out called Cellmate Secrets, in which not only we find out more about the pair's relationships, but also looks at Chris Watts' life in jail. Now, the 42-year-old clinical psychologist, Krista Rakello, admitted to developing a close and intimate relationship with Chris Watts and his cellmate, Dylan Talman, after sending Chris Watts' fan letters in prison. Krista is now actually engaged to the cellmate, Dylan, and talks about her fascination with Chris Watts' case, saying she found it very odd the way the case was handled. Usually these cases drag on for years, but he pled guilty, and she says, well, the case was never investigated, etc., etc. Now, Ms. Rakello is a former psychologist that has worked in prisons, and apparently she has a fascination with high profile cases and people that have been accused of committing multiple murders. Her mother apparently was a big fan of Charles Manson, and if you look at the photos of Charles Manson and the photo of her father, they look very similar to Charles Manson. She used to go see her father in prison, so she's got some connection to prison. This is going to be an interesting little story because I just don't understand it. Chris Watts killed his wife, Shanann, who was 15 weeks pregnant. Their two daughters, Bella 4 and Celeste 3. Now, past performance is indicative of future results. I've never understood it, and I've seen it time and time again, where women somehow think they're going to change somebody or become a fixer for a project, which is a good way to describe it. I've said this before. Oftentimes women look at men hoping to change them, and men look at women hoping that they'll never change. Usually not very compatible when it comes to that. I don't get it, why the women always want to date the bad boy. How about you go date the nice guy? The responsible guy. I don't understand it when the responsible nice guys can't get a date, but the bad boy with no job, a parole officer, multiple kids with children by multiple women always seem to have a plethora of women throwing themselves at the guy's feet. I just don't get it. I'll never understand it. Ladies and gentlemen, go date the nice, responsible guy. We'll see if Miss Rakello's engagement works out with Dylan. Maybe Chris Watts could be the best man. Next on the docket, another twist in the Murdaugh case in South Carolina. For those of you who do not know, a young man by the name of Paul Murdaugh and his mother, Maggie Murdaugh, were found shot at their residence in South Carolina. It was considered their hunting lodge. By the father and husband of Maggie. Paul Murdaugh was in some trouble. He was awaiting some felony charges on a boating accident where a young woman was killed. And let's just say it looks a little suspicious, like maybe the police stepped in to help the Murdaugh family, which is pretty well connected, a very powerful legal family in the state of South Carolina. Now, information gathered by agents investigating the death of the mother and son have led the state police to review a nearby unsolved hit-and-run death some 6 years ago. This hit-and-run case involves a young man by the name of Stephen Smith. He was 19 years old, and for the past 6 years, his family has been trying to say that he was beaten to death and not hit by a vehicle, which was some, I think, 15 miles from the Murdaugh residence where they were found deceased. The coroner's report stated that Smith was most likely hit in the head by a mirror of a passing semi-truck in July of 2015. Smith's mother, Sandy Smith, has said in an article going back to 2015 that that couldn't have happened because there was no broken glass or plastic shards from a mirror on the road where her son's body was found. She also states the way his body was laying in the road, his arm was dislocated and bent back behind his body. She just doesn't believe that he was struck by a mirror. Miss Smith has begged authorities to reinvestigate and keep this case open. Well, now it's going to be investigated based upon these documents, this information that was found investigating the Murdaugh homicide case. Police authorities are not releasing any information as to what they found, which is reopening this investigation, but it's going to get interesting because they clearly found something that says, hey, let's go take another look at this case. This goes along with the other investigation that is taking place regarding the investigation of the boating accident that involved Paul Murdaugh, which resulted in the death of Miss Beach, the young lady who was on the boat, and when they hit the sandbar, was injured and was ultimately killed. They didn't find her body for several days thereafter. Now, that case against Paul Murdaugh has been dismissed because he obviously is deceased. The civil case can continue against his estate and that of his parents, and we'll see what takes place in the future on that. But I told you, this case is going to get interesting. Next on the docket, we finally have a trial date set for the case for Chad Daybell. A hearing was held today. We brought it to you live, and finally we have a trial date. The trial date is now set for November 8th, and it's scheduled to last for 5 weeks. There's a pretrial conference on September 29th. There's going to be motions hearings along the way, and the court granted the request of the defense for additional time to file motions regarding any type of motions to dismiss based upon the discovery being voluminous. If you've watched the video, that word was used numerous times throughout. I also think the one thing what was noticeable was how efficient things were. And I thought to myself, what's different? What is different about this hearing than all the others? Oh, that's right. Mr. Means wasn't there. It's amazing. It's amazing. Everyone act professional, courteous, not a whole lot of anything inappropriate or unprofessional going on. We'll see if that can continue. Now, one of our subscribers left us a note and said, hey, if Lori Vallow is restored to competency within, let's say, the first 90-day period, could her trial be the same time as Chad Daybell, her husband's? And the question is, yes, it could be. Assuming Mr. Means is still working on the case once he gets the discovery, he could still potentially be ready to go to trial, particularly if the court made him be ready to go on that particular date. And that's assuming that the trials were still going to be joined. So yes, there is a chance, assuming Lori Vallow were to be restored within that first 90-day period, there is a chance there could still be a joint trial. We'll have to wait and see. I don't want to sound like a typical lawyer answer. It depends. But in the law, it always depends on each case and the individual judge and the facts of the case. We'll wait and see, but at least we're making some progress. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about, what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, the United States Supreme Court defends the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. The Supreme Court ruled today, and they declined to give police the automatic power to enter your home without a warrant when they're in hot pursuit for a misdemeanor. Now, it's always been a general rule. If somebody is in hot pursuit of a felon, you can go in and get them, particularly if they're dangerous, they've committed a crime, you can go into the house without a warrant. That's one of the exceptions to the warrant requirements. But in this particular case, the defendant was going to be pulled over for a noise violation, i.e. playing his car stereo too loud. He was only a block away from his house. The defendant claims that he did not see the police officer in pursuit, drives into the garage, closes the garage door, and the police officer enters, claiming that he was in hot pursuit for the heinous crime of playing your music too loudly. Ultimately, the defendant was charged with DUI. A motion to suppress was filed saying it was an illegal search without a warrant, right? That pesky Fourth Amendment gets in the way of everything. Loopholes, trying to let those people know it's the United States Constitution. It's not a loophole, it's the law. Anyway, the United States Supreme Court said, officers, you can't go in hot pursuit for someone charged with a misdemeanor. Now, this particular case came to the United States Supreme Court after the California Supreme Court declined to hear it after the lower courts had ruled for the police officer. Now, five state Supreme Courts have held that misdemeanor pursuit justifies a warrantless home entry. That's now changed. And three state courts and two federal appeals courts said that the issue must be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Well, the United States Supreme Court has become very highly scrutinizing of police after high-profile cases of misconduct. Last fall, Justice Gorsuch called a ruling in Vermont allowing game wardens to peer into a garage without a warrant in air. That case was ultimately, the court ultimately decided that that was an appropriate case, but now I think that it is much more clear. If it's not in plain view or you're in hot pursuit of a felony, get a warrant. That's good for everyone. Next, another teacher case. Our teacher today comes from the great state of Texas. Her name, Katrina Maxwell. Well, apparently while attending an administrative meeting in which she admitted to sexually assaulting the victim, in this particular case, a 16-year-old student, at least twice in the backseat of her car. She also claimed that it was okay because, well, she loved him. Now, school officials reportedly learned of this inappropriate tryst when an employee noticed Maxwell's treatment of the student after she spotted the boy with his girlfriend. A little jealousy, perhaps. The employee reported a second incident where Ms. Maxwell hurled a pair of scissors at the victim's head for sitting next to his girlfriend. Some real jealousy there. The teen recalls that Ms. Maxwell, I wonder if he called her Ms. Maxwell because it was his teacher, picked him up from his aunt's house and taking him to a nearby hotel where they engaged in sexual relations. Now, during the meeting, Ms. Maxwell reportedly told administrators that she was a good teacher who would now be known as the teacher that effed her students. Needless to say, she was fired and now facing criminal charges. So, as Julie, a member of the Crime Talk staff, noted, you just kind of seem to notice patterns. That's right. Why is that? Because it seems like a lot of people that engage in a lot of this conduct go places where that's where the children are. That's right. Watch that. Be careful of that. Be very careful who is with your children. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the week. Please meet Kanisha Booze. That's right, booze, just like getting drunk off of booze. Well, that's exactly what Miss Booze has been charged with, DUI involving property damage. Apparently, the other night, she was at a Taco Bell, and she hit a tree, and a Taco Bell sign, and a gas meter. And then she left after speeding away. And why would she want to speed away? Well, because she was arrested and showed indicia of intoxication. She did fail to provide a breath sample, but hey, that's all right. She probably was driving away because she had 7 convictions for driving without a license. Could be the reason why she didn't want to be there, because she was going to jail. Needless to say, Miss Booze, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. That's all we have for you today here in Crime Talk. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.